Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Scowls West.
West.
Issue 13.
Ooh.
Snaps.
Spooky.
It's Friday, and it's our 13th episode.
And it's Halloween.
Spooky.
So, if you haven't gotten the drift of it yet, this is our Halloween special episode. It's basically a regular episode, except it's Halloween, so, you know, we're going to mention that at every possible
chance. We're going to talk about spoopy stories and all sorts of things.
Did you say spoopy stories?
I did say spoopy stories. Oh, this is Nat, by the way.
Those are my favorite stories, though.
So, yeah, we should probably say who we are.
Oh, yeah, I guess they've never seen us, technically.
Yeah. They've never, yeah, this, oh, that's true. So we are maybe recording video right now with this, so you might be able to see us where we are as well as hear our lovely voices. Mm-hmm. But anyway, this is one of your hosts, Nat.
This is Patrick.
And it's Cat in the Hat.
Hey! It's funny because if you watch the video, she always wears hats. Or you will see this from here on out because we're going to try to make this pretty much an everyday thing. This first time might not be that good.
There's going to probably be a lot of like right now I'm watching the waveform.
You'll
see me looking at a screen a lot for many reasons, but it's fine.
It's okay. I mean, we're millennials, so we just look at screens all the time, apparently.
Right.
That's all I do in my normal life anyways.
We'll probably do some level of, I'm going to look at my cell phone and see how long I'm talking. So there's a lot of...
I don't do that because I like to hear myself talk.
Well, I'll be trying to keep everybody in line.
Okay, Daddy Nat. all right, so
is that knocking the grays in the beard? Did you literally? You gonna call me that the first video because I decided not to shave? Yeah, I get it.
I mean, why are you saying?
I didn't shave either.
What's the problem with not shaving?
Well, the grays
come in one. We're gonna come in one day though, and you're gonna be like full like.
I'm like, I forgot to shave.
Like, hey guys, I spent some time with the dwarves and.
Okay. So now complete tangent, but that's normal for us.
Yeah.
That line in, I think it's the Two Towers where they talk about the women, the dwarf women having beards. I really want to see a good artist rendition of like Lord of the Rings, you know, movie style female dwarves with beards.
Yeah.
Like something.
That would be great.
Post in the comments, send us, you know, send us some messages.
If you want to draw it yourself, with that. I'll take it.
Right?
Yeah.
That's true. I could do
with
that.
Fan art.
Yeah. Artist.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I can read and write.
But I don't know that I have the, like my imagination hasn't quite landed on what that's supposed to look like yet. Like, is there a mustache too? Because it says the beard.
I mean, I feel like make a couple sketches, you know?
Okay.
So anyway, with that tangent gone, what kind of news do you got for us?
We'll stay in the movie setting. So a long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, no, not really, in the DC, the not DC extended universe, because there's new names for these things.
There's a door over there. Just so everyone knows, I might walk out, but it'll be fine. I'll come back.
We'll turn the camera, you know, you can see what's happening here.
We need an actual camera person. Right. They can just like follow Kat out as she leaves.
that would be awesome. Do like a slow walk in. Anyway. Yeah.
So anyway.
Deathstroke had been cast as Joe Manganiello. I'm sorry. That's a name that's hard for me to pronounce. But
I can't pronounce any names. So you know what? It's fine.
He was supposed to be part of the Batman movie. He was supposed to be one of the villains in Affleck's rendition of it. But they had recorded him and screen tested him. And with the change over to Matt Reeves doing the film and Affleck dropping out from being the director and writer, it seemed like his career as Deathstroke was up in the air. However, now information has surfaced that there's a Deathstroke solo movie in the works with him in the lead, and then the Raid director, Gareth Evans, is tied to the film right now and has been working on writing the movie. So, I don't know how I feel about this.
I mean, I guess we'll see. Like, I saw that was news, that there will be one, and they have picked a director. But, I mean, aside from that, like, there's nothing to feel about it. Like, if you really like The Raid, I guess you can be like, hey.
It's going to be really, like, nice and action-heavy. But I think the problem I have is Deathstroke is an anti-hero at best. And
I wouldn't even call him that. He's, I mean, Deadpool's out for himself, but, like, Deathstroke is, like, super out for himself. Yeah, I mean, like the best way I could put it.
He's a true merc, you know, like, and I felt like we're going to get a Nightwing movie. That is in development. They've already talked about that, you know, it's in casting right now, talking about doing everything as stunts. Why is Deathstroke not the villain there?
Oh, probably be better.
Yeah, yeah. He has so many ties to the Dick Grayson character through the Titans.
He might make an appearance in the Nightwing movie. Do you know if the Nightwing movie is supposed to be released before or after the Deathstroke?
It should be before, because slated-wise, the Nightwing movie is in active pre-production. Okay,
so he might make an appearance in the Nightwing movie and then get his own thing, but who knows? Yeah. You know,
whatever. I don't know. DC seems like there's too many things going on the plate right now. And
well, I think they're trying to follow up with Marvel, even though Marvel's been doing this for years now, and it's like you can't slow down, just stop, just walk, running.
Marvel cinema has been very evenly paced. It's been,
well, they've had how many years,
right? But even so, like the initial run, you know, there was 1 to 2 movies a year that they were doing, and they were sort of tangentially tying them together. But this schedule that we're looking at is going to be really ridiculous. So I don't know.
I just grabbed tea, that's why he's laughing. I'm like switching cups.
It wasn't the fact that she grabbed the tea, it was the look of, I'm doing something I'm not supposed to be doing.
Yeah. It's like the normal thing I have, just like at any point in time, though, I'm like, I'm not supposed to be doing this.
What she's not telling you is the amount of whiskey in that.
I'm also extremely drunk right now.
Yeah. We do record the podcast at 8 in the morning, so yeah. That makes total sense. Why not?
But the bar next door is open right now, so.
That's true.
Where do you think I'm getting my whiskey shot?
It's like breakfast burrito and a beer. Yeah,
breakfast of champions.
I can't have either of those things.
So that's one of the best things ever is if you're drinking some beers and eating some pizza late at night and you fall asleep on the couch and you wake up to warm beer and cold pizza, that's like the best, morning, like hungover, like morning snack in the world.
I'm pretty sure that just labeled me as a bachelor. So ladies.
I like how you call yourself a bachelor too.
Oh my god.
Okay, right. So anyway.
Next piece of news maybe? I don't know.
Continuing talking, I guess, about some cinematic universes, Star Trek Discovery was just renewed for a second season, which is actually like really cool. They're only like 5 or 6 episodes into it currently.
Yeah, I kind of want to laugh at the fact that they're talking about ending the other series, so I can't say that kind of stuff shocks me.
Ending what other series?
Inhumans. They're talking about killing it. So honestly, sometimes with that stuff, I'm not entirely shocked because they're like, we're going to do it now. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, no, yeah. So this is a CBS production and yeah, so we'll see. But I mean, it's been getting huge rave reviews. I mean, yeah. I am giving it huge rave reviews. I've been watching it. It is absolutely nuts. Have either of you seen it yet at all?
No.
I mean, as it's been previously stated in other news, Cad hates space. I fucking hate it.
So
true.
Even if you
actually really like it.
So it's amazing. They are not afraid at all to just build up characters and then kill them off. Like, it's like Game of Thrones style and space.
See, and then
like,
you added
these
Game
characters.
Of Thrones to this, and I'm just like, God damn.
I mean, just in the fact that how loose they are with killing off characters. Literally, that's the only aspect. Nothing else at all. Yeah, exactly. Like, the first 2 episodes totally throws like plot armor out the window.
Oh, that's awesome. Good.
Like,
good.
At the end of the second episode, you're like, oh, it's all doing this and everything's gonna be fine. And then this happens and it's like, nope, main character dies, person gets court-martialed for like, and like all this stuff. It is absolutely
nuts.
See,
all I really want to do right now is watch Attack on Titan just after listening to that, but yeah. Whatever.
I mean, you should watch Star Trek Discovery, which is also actually somewhat depressing. It's weird. It's just weird, man.
I really like all of the stuff that I've heard about this show. It sounds fantastic. It just sounds like one of those really interesting, like, there's intrigue behind the scenes about what characters are following, where it could possibly fit into the Star Trek mythology is really different. That it could be a type of grouping of Starfleet that is hinted at in different storytelling. Yeah. And yeah, it just sounds really interesting. And I like the cast that I've seen so far.
Yeah. No,
I just don't know if I want to buy a streaming service for a single show. Like that to me is the kicker.
Well, I mean, I haven't done that, so I've got nothing on. once again, ooh, fucking hate space.
Free hair. Keep forgetting. Like, I don't want to touch this much. I should have shaved at least. I mean, like.
Yeah, I don't know if it's worth buying it, but I mean, it is CBS, so if you have cable, you can just watch it.
I don't.
Oh, okay. Well, fair enough then.
Yep.
So there's that. I guess you can just wait till Netflix picks it up or something like that.
That's true. I'm sure Netflix may actually make a buyout for a lot of things for distribution with them losing Disney. Oh.
Yeah. So, yeah, well, because they do have the Star Trek franchise currently.
Okay, right. I did not realize that.
Mm-hmm. Yep, speaking they have all the series.
Netflix. This is near and dear to my heart. I was going to stick with some other film stuff, but we'll go since we brought up Netflix. Mm-hmm. So, from my understanding, what's going on is Netflix is actually helping the anime industry quite a bit, mm-hmm. and they're helping anime producers quite a bit.
Really, because the Death Note movie says otherwise.
Don't talk about that. That's not what I meant. That's not what I meant.
I'm not even face right now. Switch over. Yeah. Hopefully, the video of this works out because Nat's face right now is just picture of rage.
Before we get into this. I studied animation in college, and one of the things
really
that you get taught one of the things you get taught is you draw with a mirror in front of you because oftentimes you will emote. What that does to you as a person is it makes you very animated, and your expressions are oftentimes a little bit more extreme than they should be. So, I don't know it's happening. It will just happen.
And I'm pretty sure they're going to start... They're going to be, like, maybe not memes, but conversations of the faces that I make. So
yeah, we're going to have
to. Well, back to the Netflix thing. I saw a thing that they were, like, looking to greenlight, like, 20 or 30 animes 30. in the next year, right?
Yeah, what they're doing... And it's not even just them anymore. And I think they started it. So now a bunch of other studios are like, oh my God, you're doing this too. This is looking great. You're doing awesome.
Right.
Okay. So you've got Netflix who's leading the charge basically. And apparently Apple Studios, Crunchyroll, and Amazon, they're just investing money straight into this production company instead of this stupid intermediate one.
Oh, really?
Which is where they... A lot of the times, from what I read and my understanding, that's where they start losing money.
Okay.
And a lot of animes, when they get produced, they show up on television networks because they all share the risk and they all share whatever. They don't actually see a profit until, like, they start getting merch sales, soundtrack sales, stuff like that.
Right.
Well, now removing that middleman, now it's just straight to them.
Okay.
Hmm. And you don't have to deal with this bullcrap intermediate, and it's just coming to a streaming service, which pretty much everybody has anymore.
Right, yeah.
So... Honestly, for me, I was like, cool, because now, because I think a lot of the times, like, you get awesome series, like, I don't know if this is true for this particular one that I'm thinking of, like, Tokyo Ghoul. Okay. It's taking 3 years, or I don't even know how long, it's taking forever just for a third season. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that, like, we lose so much money. How can I...
Right, how do we budget for this?
And instead of losing money and then gaining it back afterwards with the sales of the things, they can actually have a starting budget for making this. That's good.
So it's like, you know, instead of bleeding money constantly and... The a lot of places have been I can't even think of what the word is.
Guys, berating team, drawing team, writing team. Trust us, we'll pay you. Just it'll be in a couple months. Don't cash your checks just yet.
Hold on, like, hold on, wait a minute.
Hold on till Friday. And that's when we get the money.
Give
in the
us
bank.
A second. But I think the thing is like there's a lot of places berating these companies for animators just working so much for so little pay, and now because they're just investing straight into them, it should help.
That's good.
So, you know, they're like, you know, you're talking crap over here, but you're the reason why we're having so many issues is because you're all trying to just share all this risk and not give us everything and blah, 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 and... Them doing this, the fact that, I mean, Netflix started it, like, you can just see with the fact of their own, like, they have Seven Deadly Sins, you know, I think that was the one that they really started with that really hit it off, so, and then...
I wonder what this does for, like, Netflix, I don't want to do air quotes, but the American animation that they have, because you have something like Voltron... Mm-hmm. Which is obviously the property is based on an anime that was mistranslated and broken apart into different different episodes, and like they took pieces from here and there. But watching that show, it is heavily anime influenced. The storyboard process and the creative process is done here, but obviously, like, things like TMS and the Korean studio, I can't think of their name right
now. Like I said, you have other studios involved in this, not just Netflix anymore. And the fact that Crunchyroll is involved with it, I know that they're probably going to have production companies based in the other areas. I know with Netflix, with a lot of what they're doing is they're going to have, like, 20 dubbed animes, like, okay. They'll do 20 different languages, and then the number jumps, like, to, like, 50 or, like, to a higher number when they subtitle it.
Really?
So,
interesting.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm not really sure. I think they're going, I mean, I know right now the first one that's in the works is Saint Seiya, and that one's going to be CGI, and I don't know what that means production-wise or who's doing it. So
that's something that, like, that makes me sad, is hearing that something like that is going to be CGI.
It depresses me a little bit, too, don't
worry. Yeah, I want more. You look at a deal like this, and to me, that screams, hey, let's save the 2D part of the animation industry, and then you hear that CG is going to be one of the main productions.
Well, see, and I'm self-centered in that way. I mean, it's kind of one of the reasons why 95% of the time anymore, I don't normally see a lot of newer Disney movies, because I don't want to see CG. I want to see that old animation again, which I know takes a lot more time and a lot more effort, but at the same time, I feel like there's more character behind
it sometimes. When it's done well, it's hard to not feel something special about it. Secret of Kells.
Oh my god.
Yeah, you look, what's the other movie that they did? Song of the Sea.
Song of the Sea, yeah.
That animation studio is particularly.
Oh gosh, I forget. Tom Moore, I believe, is the director. I forget the studio name, but Secret of Kells. Oh my gosh, that movie is absolutely beautiful. That gives any Studio Ghibli movie a run for its money.
Right, and then Studio Ghibli is the other one we want to throw out there. It's like the level of production.
Yeah, they didn't use CGI until like 2000, like 5 or 6 or something like
and
that.
And a lot of the CGI enhancements in films like that are to do camera moves and then to ease frames.
Yeah. So. Well, I think the first one they did it in was just for Princess Mononoke, and the only CG they had was like the cursed
old Ashitaka's worms.
Yeah.
Thing? Oh, really?
Yeah, and that was like the only thing
that's
they
a surprise.
Used it for. I believe so. I might.
Well, you can see it
a
lot of animes, but I've seen it in a few. Like I've seen CGI in the new. One of the new Dragon Ball Z movies, they use it for the fight sequence, and I was kind of pissed off because I felt a little ripped off.
Well, you see that? And that's my big thing about using 2D and CG at the same time, is it's like, okay, this big, like, thing is gonna move, so we're gonna make that CG. And then they just look different. Like, the rest of the thing is like...
That's why I felt gypped.
Is like... one artistic style, and then this other thing is a different artistic style.
Yeah.
You can definitely do it well, but like, I feel like using CG,
so
like you're already like, well, we're just gonna use CD, so fuck it.
So we're going into like some pretty high technical stuff here. So, with CG to match, 2D animation, you have to utilize shaders that don't reflect light back. So they absorb light and give it what is known as an ink and paint shader.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why that isn't used and then somebody rotoscopes the line work. And rotoscoping is literally drawing over the top.
Yeah.
Rotoscoping is famously used for the classic Disney when they have people dancing, is they will rotoscope frames of
that
people
makes sense
physically
because
dancing.
Because I've seen that stuff.
But if you did that, if you have like a CG, I always think of ships because the vehicles oftentimes are much easier to do in computer graphic because when something that is a box turns, it doesn't bend.
Yeah.
So you have a more realistic movement when you actually have to force the angle to change.
Mm-hmm.
But you could rotoscope over the top of that, like just following the lines with like a black pen and really get the look to match the 2D. Some studios do it. I think about... Korra did pretty well with some of the CG stuff integrated in. Voltron, I'm on a Voltron kick again. I'm trying to catch up on that show, and it's really, really, really good. And they do, like, Voltron is CG, which is crazy because it matches really well with the 2D animation of the characters.
Yeah. So I guess the to take away from this is any animation studios out there, hire Nat as your production your production coordinator.
I've actually thought about whether or not art direction would be a direction I can go in to be an art director for studios, but
I mean,
we'll see.
I make funny jokes.
Okay, so what other news we got?
Off the rails.
Yeah, right. Yeah, completely off the rails. I've got, so the Thor Ragnarok director, I have no idea how to say his name.
Taika Waititi.
Thank God you're here. he wants to direct a Black Widow movie, but I don't know if I want him to, because he wants to make it, like, a comedic one.
So, I have yet to see a Taika movie yet, mm-hmm. but apparently he has a very, like, dark comedy sense in everything that he does. Mm-hmm. And people say that Thor Ragnarok might be the funniest of the Marvel movies, but it's not a comedy. It's just his line delivery, like, the mm-hmm. way that he approaches things are inherently funny and, like, situationally funny. Mm-hmm. But if he himself said he wants to make it a comedy...
See, he wants to make... He wants to, what was it?
Did he say a comedy?
I wouldn't say quote-unquote because this
comedic.
Isn't...
Because that's very...
It's like hard comedy saying because comedic, the way he...
Because that's very,
the
like,
way
different.
He talked about it was more like, I want to brighten this dark story and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, but that's Black Widow. And the thing is like I don't know Black Widow very well in the comics and any of her history really, but Scarlett Johansson, I mean, if she's in any movie, honestly, I'm like, they're like, oh, she makes a cameo. I will be there.
Right.
But anyways, besides that,
Ghost in the Shell viewing party.
Yeah, exactly. Anyways.
Well, I could totally see that instead of making it, because, you know, she has a very tragic backstory and, like, all this stuff. But if you made it more as, like, an international spy kind mm-hmm. of movie with that kind of, like, light, sort of, like, classic James Bond feel rather than, like,
that's
super
true.
Dark.
But the thing is, like, she has, even in the Avengers movies, she's not like, haha, I'm in your face funny, but she'll like, she has her funny quip. So if I could stick with that,
yeah.
I can live with that a little bit more. Like,
the Avengers sequence where she's on the cell phone and she's tied up, she's like, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yep.
She, you know, like, flips out of a freaking chair.
Yeah.
I'm just like, marry me. I mean, I'm fine. But like,
yeah,
that's kind of my point though, is I don't really know necessarily what he wants to do.
Right.
I mean, I'm down for whatever. You put Scarlett Johansson in a movie, I show up to it. Like, they're like, Lucy, she can use like 100% of her brain. I'm like, I just from taking a psychology class, I already know it's wrong, but it's Scarlett Johansson. I don't care, I'm here.
Was Lucy good?
It was alright. It was Scarlett Johansson. I was already like, yeah! And then, of course, I bought Ghost in the Shell, because who wouldn't?
Fair enough.
But it's kind of one of those... It was kind of one of those things where I was just like, I don't know.
Very hot cold on the idea.
Yeah, I want a Black Widow movie so desperately, because
right.
Okay, so Black Widow takes on the Hulk and, like, kind of wins.
Yeah.
In the Avengers. And the thing is like, they have so much strong, like, strong female-esque things within the Avengers with just her.
Yeah.
And the fact that she doesn't have a movie is the most infuriating
yeah.
thing in the entire
she
world.
She was 110% the best part of Iron Man 2. Like,
oh, yeah,
no,
she was great. She beat
question.
The shit out of Tony Stark for,
yeah.
like, the entire movie. It was
and
beautiful.
Her action sequences were phenomenal.
And I love her action sequences. And the thing is like, at the end of the day, she's not a normal... Technically, she's not a normal human, but she's a normal
yeah.
human.
Yeah. I mean, she's been trained to the point of no
well,
return.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
From my understanding, too, from what I read a little bit, she actually has, like, a bit of a dosage of the superhero serum
oh, okay.
in her. So, and that's why she's lived so long.
Yeah, I need to read the Somni Wade run that
but
was recently done.
My thing is like, you've got this Wonder Woman movie, and I'm just over here, like, Marvel consistently preaches diversity and stuff like that, and DC comes out with the first woman
yeah.
superhero movie that's like really good. And how long? And I'm like, you've had Black Widow for how long
yeah,
now?
That's
I mean, they are doing Captain Marvel next year.
Yeah.
So
and also,
you know, not to get into like a who's more diverse war, but also Black Panther. You know,
well,
like that. Who? Let's. Yeah, we won't go there.
But
yeah.
that's my thing, though. Is like,
I know,
how
right?
long? How long have they held on to Black Widow? And I know that this
know,
isn't
I
the
know,
first
I'm
time
just...
that someone's bitching and complaining about them not making
yeah.
a Black Widow movie, because I've been complaining for years. Like
yeah.
after I think after
like,
the first Avengers, I was like, "Where's my Black
right?
Widow movie?"
I know, right? Like, let's not make any Captain America movies again.
Yeah.
Like, I understand.
This.
Yeah,
go Black Widow.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So
Black Widow.
It's one of those things where I'm like, if he directs it, am I still going to see it? Scarlett Johansson. So yes, it's just like an automatic check mark.
So I think there's one thing that we need to do is actually see Thor Ragnarok and
oh, yeah.
figure out whether or not, like, because
I would just like to point out Scarlett Johansson wants to make a Black Widow movie. So if she wants to make a Black Widow movie, where's my Black Widow movie?
And Taika had been in discussions to do an adaptation of Akira. Mm-hmm. And he had been quoted as saying that he wanted to do it in Japan, like actually have Japanese actors and everything. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if he's attached to both projects. I don't know.
Saying that he wants to do it. Yeah. No one's saying that he's going to do it, but he's basically come out saying, I want to do this. Please let me do this.
Yeah.
And, of course, like I said, Scarlett Johansson wants to do a Black Widow movie. So, once again, where's my Black Widow movie?
Oh, what? He did Boy?
Yeah.
That's awesome, actually. Sorry, I just IMDb'd Taika Waititi.
These laptops are actually real. They're not props.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I'm too old.
He says as he, like, pulls out his smartphone.
Right. Yeah, right. No, I've got my notes on paper.
I believe, oh no, am I getting Boy and Boyhood confused?
You might, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what movies you're talking about.
Yep, I don't either. Culture. Oh, and he directed a bit of Flight of the Conchords too, wow. Okay, so yeah, interesting. Yeah. So, cool.
Yep.
Awesome.
So we had a little pop in there about Captain Marvel being on the slate for Marvel Cinema.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Mendelsohn is in talks to be one of the primary villains in Captain Marvel.
I know nothing about Captain Marvel, so I've got this blank stare the entire time.
There's a bit of Kree Skrull is what we're looking at for the storytelling. So
I barely know what Skrulls are.
Skrulls are shape-changing aliens.
Yeah, I know what they were. I just don't understand their... It's in space, all right? You put it in freaking space, and I'm just like, so go on. And I'm like, space.
But she is the boss of space.
She is.
that's really the only thing I know about her.
But Orson, Ben Mendelsohn played Krennic in Rogue One, so he was the villain who was responsible for basically getting the Death Star built.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a really great presence. So to see him, like, leading a fleet of Skrulls would be pretty cool. So I hope these talks are actually true and he's somebody important in the film. I just think that's really, it's interesting to hear casting at this point in time because the movie's supposed to be out in 2019, right? Like,
the thing is like, we think that it's not far away, but it is far away, at least in movie time, because I know when they do stuff like that, they work more than I do.
Right.
I know. I mean, like, if you've seen that, like, what the Disney master schedule, they have, like, their release dates planned out for, like, 10 years ahead.
Well, movies take a long time to make.
Oh,
well,
yeah,
they do. But, like, yeah, no, it's true. So, interesting.
I've got one more piece of news, which is, awesome. I find... kind of hilarious. So, they're going to be making a live-action Dora the Explorer movie.
Dude, what?
Okay.
Tell me everything you know right now.
So, it started... Okay. Don't mind that. Anyways.
Don't worry. Nothing's broken.
So, it started off with rumors that Michael Bay was producing it, which I just started laughing. Because I'm just like, am I going to get like...
How are you going to fit an explosion into a Dora the Explorer movie?
That's what a lot of people are just like super stoked about. So now it's finally come out and they're like, no, he's not producing it. The only way he's connected to this film is his production company, which is whatever. But I mean, at the same time, I'm like thinking of Dora Explorer with explosions.
So there's only going to be a small explosion.
And I'm like, is this like a rated R movie? Because I'm pretty sure I would see that.
In a world where there's one explorer, she has to find the way.
I'm really hoping that's like a map. Giant ass
like the map is just like a guy with like a map. He's like smoking a cigarette in the corner. He's like, you want to get where you want to go? I'll help you for a price.
That would actually be really awesome.
Yeah. Backpack is just like a guy with like a trench coat. He's like, man, you need some stuff? I got the hookups in here.
That is really interesting, like the supernatural sort of elements of Dora the Explorer. Like how...
Oh, got it. I just, hoping his Swiper is just a giant fox.
Swiper comes up and they have like a legit, like, gory hand-to-hand, like, fight. Like Swiper comes up and tries to steal something. He just, like, punches him, like, blood. And,
oh,
like,
no, like...
And,
no, no, it needs to be that one hit and, like, Swiper goes down and says, hey, Swiper, no Swiper. You know, like, action movie. Yeah. But supposedly...
And he's just, like, bleeding in like, his mouth or something like that.
They're going to age her up. She's going to be, like, a teenager. Yeah.
So
is it going to be like a young Indiana Jones type of deal?
I don't actually know. So Andrew Form and Brad Fuller will produce the film, and then our script is going to be written by Nicholas Stoller, who was in Forgetting Sarah Marshall and The Muppets. So there's to be an older element, but I don't know how much of an older element. Like, part of me is hoping for a lot because her and her cousin Diego are moving to the big city.
Right.
And I'm hoping for a gay bar scene just because.
That's amazing. Well, they wrote the Muppets as in, like, the one with Jason Segel?
I don't remember, but I mean, he wrote, I've never seen Forgetting Sarah Marshall, so I don't actually.
I'm gonna guess that it's that. If it's that one.
I would assume so.
This could be really great. Yeah. Because I think The Muppets is an unsung movie in like the past 15 years.
Oh yeah. Oh, for sure.
It references, it's like the most meta thing ever is the fact that it references jokes that it tells in the movie. So it's like, it's like, that just happened. You just made a joke about what I just saw 10 minutes ago.
But that's my thing, though, is, like, they're saying that it's going to be for, like, not an older audience, but an older audience. So, like, I'm guessing,
it's gonna be like Pixar style, so for kids, but also for the adults that are taking their kids.
I don't honestly know because they're aging her up too, so, and they're going to the quote unquote big city, so I'm just like.
Right.
So it's gonna be her and Diego both. Yep.
I'm wondering if he's gonna be like an actual person or still a monkey, so I don't really know. It's her.
No, Diego was her.
No, Diego's, that's right. Yeah. You're thinking
of Boots.
I'm thinking
Boots!
Of Boots.
Yeah. Oh my god, make Boots.
Boots in the big city.
Boots in the big city. Oh, I really want to see, like, is this going to be something
like a bird partner or something like that? Like a parrot? Like a parrot.
Why are we excited about this? Like, there's visually, like,
I swear I'm almost turning 25.
I am 33 years old. I watched Dora the Explorer with my niece and nephew.
Good news. I'm 24, while I was babysitting. So I'm the youngest, so therefore, I could be excited.
It's okay. Oh, it's okay, little sister.
Yeah.
Daddy Nat can bring us to the movie.
That might be the only way I can go to the movies. I can't go by myself to see Dora the Explorer.
Dude, there's some movies that come out, and I'm like, everyone, like, who wants to go see Dora the Explorer movie? And none of my friends are there, and I'm just, like, in the back, like, with my popcorn. There's, like, a bunch of kids, and I'm just, like, looking around.
That's why I see movies late at night. No one knows what I'm doing, and then I can, like, claim that I saw an adult film, which sounded really bad.
Walking in with a trench coat. It's like holy some like.
We might need a cameraman because I may actually need to walk out.
Claim that I saw an adult film.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so with
I swear to God, I've never done that.
I've got one more.
You've never seen an adult film before.
In theaters?
Oh, that's a different thing. Who would go to one of those theaters?
Okay, we're not having this conversation.
Stop, Frank, stop.
In actual comic book news.
Yay!
It is.
Grant Morrison is returning back to Batman for a little while. He is going to be joining Scott Snyder and James Tynion IV to write Dark Knight's Rising, The Wild Hunt, part of the metal event.
I don't have cash to throw at you, but
I'm really excited about that. Morrison is crazy. He really is one of those. In my opinion, he's the founding author of, we're gonna tie all of this fucking nonsense together. Like, it's all going to make sense.
Yeah.
And he had a really interesting run of Batman where,
really,
like, a lot of the...
I'm really happy I don't have change in my pocket. Just throw it out and be like, here, this is what I have.
Right before RIP, he did this storyline with Batman where all of the, like, crazy 1950s space stories and all that, like shit that happened with Batman of many colors were all Batman undergoing psychological experiments to try to identify with Joker. So he, like, put himself in isolation and all of this happened in his head.
Damn.
So, like, Grant Morrison knows his shit. It's, like, really interesting stuff.
Yeah, you should be really happy about
that. But this is going to be the Dark Knights, the evil versions of Batman, are hunting down a team of Cyborg, Flash, Raven, and Detective Chimp. So those are the heroes of Gotham City and the universe. When everybody else goes down, Detective Chimp saves the day. And Josh Williamson will also be involved in this. But this is going to be the major February release for Metal. Scott Snyder's very particular about the schedule for the book so that people actually can buy things. There's never more than two titles released a week that are associated with Metal so that people can actually read everything if they want to. So this will be releasing on February 14th, so Valentine's Day.
Interesting.
Awesome. Metal Valentine's Day.
I know. I'll be here with my 60-page, $5 book.
It'll be fine.
Yeah. Although I'm married,
romantic,
so.
You know, romantic bubble bath with flowers and candles and stuff, and then you know the metal walks in and gets in the tub with you.
No way! You're gonna ruin your pages. God, let's not talk about how alone I am. Moving on.
What do you guys think about that, though? Like, I'm not sure how much Grant Morrison stuff you've each read, but...
Some examples of his work?
All-Star Batman, The Invisibles, Grant Morrison's 18 Days.
I mean, considering the fact that from the Scott Snyder run that I've read, it was beautiful, and the fact that you said he likes to tie all this nonsense. I love nonsense.
Batman, his run on Batman, I mean, is one of the craziest and most fantastic runs. He wrote Batman Inc., so he had this idea where Bruce Wayne came out and said that he had been secretly funding Batman for all of these years. So that's like... So they came out with a global name for Batman.
Oh, I never remember. I read a couple of those. But like I said, tying all this nonsense together, I love nonsense. And then you tie it together, and I'm just like, oh, my God!
there's a really great interview with Grant Morrison from Kevin Smith's podcast, Fat Man on Batman. And he talks about some of his experiences in, I think, Tibet. So, yeah, Grant Morrison's a prolific writer. All-Star Superman is... the best Superman story ever written. I'm sorry. I'm going to go out and say that. All-Star Superman is the best Superman story ever written.
I haven't read it yet, but I really like Red Sun, so...
Red Sun's great. I will say that's up there, but not as good as All-Star. All-Star deals with the idea of what happens if Superman gets cancer and has 12 months to live.
Damn.
Yeah. I think I've seen a movie like that.
There was an animated film. They tried to adapt it.
Oh, yeah, I have seen that one. That was hurtful.
It's tough. It's a really...
But I didn't cry at the end of that film.
But yeah.
No, I didn't. No, I
so,
didn't.
So you got any more news for us?
No, that's that, it that I've got today.
Cool. Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Well, I guess with that, let's get into our main discussion topic, which is obviously Halloween. We just have to. I love Halloween so much. It's basically like Christmas for me. Before we get,
There's a guilt-ridden expression on my face.
I did a little, Wikipedia-ing last night of the origins of Halloween, because I was just like, where does it come from? Right. Who started it? Why is it? So apparently it's, an old-ass Gaelic holiday, from way back in the day. Samhain, probably heard of that. Maybe not. Maybe just because my ex-girlfriend was a Wiccan, I know all these things. So
mine was too, but still nothing. Like I said, apparently I'm just uncultured.
So apparently it was an end of summer festival, and in the Gaelic tradition, the day would end and then begin at sunset. So when the sun goes down, that's the end of the day. So they would celebrate the end of summer, in the evening as the sunset. In the 1700s or 1600s, somewhere around that time, people would start, and it was always a thing about remembering spirits and loved ones or whatever. And then apparently, and playing games and doing the stuff. And I guess the people started dressing up as these malevolent spirits or whatever to sort of play. And then the tricks came from them trying to impersonate these. Spirits, right? So they would play tricks and do this stuff. So that's where trick or treat comes from. And then they used to, and so they were trying to impersonate these spirits. And then they used to, so that's where the costumes, came from too. Okay. Dressing up as something spooky or scary too.
That is not what Halloween is about anymore.
Yeah, I know, right? But, and then I guess they would also carve out, turnips to like with the faces of spirits and put and use them as lanterns to go around.
Turnips are a horrifying vegetable, so I can see why that was used, because they're gross.
Yeah. So and then for some reason it went to pumpkins, and then you know kids got into it, and I guess you know at some point like they would go around from house to house and like ask for like you know a bit of. Like, people would give out, like, food or the coins or whatever, so. Okay.
I would rather be around in the time when they're giving me money.
I know, right? Especially back in the day when you get a coin and you're like, oh, good stuff, penny! I can buy all the candy and sweets in the world! That's awesome. So, yeah. So, that's a little backstory on Halloween right there.
Cool.
So, for you guys, what are your views on Halloween? Do you like it?
Oh, I love Halloween. My best friend got married on Halloween, it's 8 years ago now? So they have a standing anniversary-ween party.
Yeah.
They always do. So I'll be there, tomorrow evening. Tomorrow's a big Halloween day for me.
Yeah.
We've got the Halloween Comic Fest. We've got the Griffin Halloween party. I've got an anniversary party.
It's about to come out. Some things are going to come out. I'll let you compare.
But no, I love Halloween. I love dressing up. Despite just having green hair today, I'll be full on White Knight Joker tomorrow in the at the store. So, nice. Got lots of white face paint, and I'll put my hair down.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
But no, I spent a lot of time on costumes too. Like I was Arrow 1 year, and I actually like made armor pieces out of cardboard.
Oh, really? Wow. Yeah. It took a while. I mean, I made this. I'm wearing a Squirrel Girl costume.
That's pretty
right
fantastic.
Now.
I didn't know you made that.
Yeah. Well, I made it with my friend, and like, yeah, I got most of the stuff from like the thrift store, but then like had to like cut and sew, or, like glue the fur on and stuff.
Right.
And I was telling Kat earlier, the squirrel was the hardest part of the costume to find. Places don't have squirrels. You would think that would be like in the stuffed animal section in like Toys R Us.
Considering in the state, you there is everywhere. None. Like, why would there be not be a squirrel?
There is no squirrels anywhere.
That's weird.
I spent less time making like my jacket and boots than I did finding a squirrel. Oh
God. Last year was one of the most, I wouldn't say difficult, but it was the most complicated costumes I had. I went as Aang.
Oh, yeah?
And I decided to use his, the season 3 reshaving his head look. So he had, like, the over-the-shoulder sash and everything.
Yeah, the classic Buddhist monk, like, sash. Right. Yeah.
So I had completely bicked my head to do this. But then to get the arrows...
Yeah.
And the angle that they're at, I had to stand with my arms like this while my wife was painting me. So it was just like being like this and like just staying like that until everything dried. I'm like, I feel like C-3PO right now. Human cyborg. But yeah, that was just, it was a really weird process to sit there like that. I don't know if I'm going to do the white arms for Joker tomorrow. I may skip out on that. Yeah,
just do white face.
Just
it'll
white
be
face.
Fine.
Yeah.
It's okay. That is our thing. You're disgracing our people.
I'm going to be flowers.
Horrible.
Oh, okay.
Horrible.
So anyway. That's the realm I live in.
That is terrible, terrible joke.
So Kat,
what do you think about Halloween?
So there's that thing that goes on around Facebook about if you play Christmas music before, whenever, you're allowed to use that person's dead body as a Halloween decoration. Please no one kill me. I do like living. But I can't say that I wasn't not listening to Christmas music in my car, like, an hour ago.
So you're just like one of those people that's so taken up by the Christmas spirit that like
right
once the weather gets cold, you're like, Christmas time.
That's pretty much exactly what happens. And you know, for somebody who's worked in retail for 6 years, I have no idea how the hell I'm like.
Yeah, no joke. And I worked at Home Depot, like we start putting fucking Christmas decorations out on September, and I'm like, screw you! It's like, where's Halloween? I want my candy and scary shit.
So in September, I'm like, that's too much. But then October hits and I get a little more lax. Normally,
only 2 more months. Only one-sixth of the year left, too.
Normally it's November 1st, and I am kind enough to listen to it in my headphones. The day after Thanksgiving, no one has anything. I get what I want. I work so hard on this damn holiday, it needs to last for a while.
No, it's not.
I don't have a problem.
And see, for me, it's Halloween. Like, I saw this thing on Facebook the other day that was, like,
you know,
all the months, like, all the major months of the holidays, but it was, like, July is Halloween. Independence and December is like Halloween mess.
That's awesome.
And September is pre-Halloween. And like that's me basically.
Well, part of it was the fact that Lindsay Sterling let out her new album, and it's a Christmas album. She let it out October 20th, and I'm like, oh wait, I can hold off. And then I found out she did like a rendition of Sugar Plum Fairy, and I was like, well, too late now! Everything, just take me.
That's hilarious.
So, I mean, normally I hold off till like November 1st. No one will hear. No one will know that I'm listening to it. The day after Thanksgiving, no one gets anything, and I do what I want.
Everyone knows now.
Everyone knows.
Everyone knows.
You all know.
So I also gotta ask you.
But you're not listening to it.
Now that we've done this, have you guys ever actually tricked? Or have you just treated?
Just treated.
You've never tricked?
Never tricked.
TP'd a single house, never like ding-dong ditched.
I'm just a bastard to everybody in general. I'm like, if I do this on Halloween, I'm just a douchebag. Like, there's like this fine line, I stand on it, I can't just like, I'm sorry.
Nope. Really? Oh my gosh, alright, so I guess I was just that kid or whatever. I never egged a house though.
That's
the one
horrible,
thing I didn't
that one's
do.
Really
yeah.
bad.
Yeah, just cause like, that can like really like,
that
if I don't get
paint.
That. Yeah, it does. Yeah. Like that's the reason I didn't do it, because they were like, "Oh, let's get some eggs and like do people's houses." And I'm like, "Toilet paper is fine. Like that shit washes off like after
the
rain.
It blows in the wind.
It blows in the wind." But like paint, like if they don't get that
I've
in time,
to
like
fork
the
someone's
acidity.
House, and that sounds weird, but you literally just go around in their front lawn and stick forks all through their front lawn. So I mean, you spend an hour like putting forks in someone's lawn, but you just think they also have to spend an hour taking them out.
Yeah, that's weird. I've never heard of this before.
That kind
of
reminds me.
Not a religious school, but like the kids were more on the good standards, so stuff like that would pop up, and as well as the fact like a lot of the senior pranks were stuff like that too, because if you damaged the school in any way and they found out, of course they would make it to where you either couldn't walk at graduation or couldn't graduate. So of course there's like
this
realm
of
that kind of reminds me like our rival school when I was in high school, they played a prank on us where in like the soccer field during like before spring, they put grass seed in the shape of like their school's like symbol basically. It was like,
that's
like
genius.
Their initials. And so like throughout spring and it
that's
just like
amazing.
Grew in and it was like a different color grass than
that's
like the one. So it was like the most amazing prank I've ever seen.
Wow.
I was like, whoever thinks about this, that's like some long term shit right there.
That is a prank that keeps on
giving.
That is
that pro right there.
Yeah, no, seriously.
It's like, we want to do something that lasts.
Yeah, no,
there
right?
was 1 year I don't know if this was at my high school or somebody else's that I remember them telling me that they took the principal's car, disassembled it, and built it back up on the roof.
I've heard that a couple times.
Yeah. Like, that's got to be one of those Mythbusters things. It's like, did this really happen to anyone, or is this one of those?
Well, I know,
see
in, like,
depending on the car.
Yeah. I know one of my senior classes, like, they all took all the license plates off of every car in the student parking lot and put them in a big pile in, like, the football stadium. And then, like,
I would kill people.
I would be so fucking mad. Yeah, like, that's not even, like...
Which is great because, you know, most of them had just started driving and didn't know their license plate number. So, you know...
Oh, my God, I would kill people.
Yeah, that's
I'd be like, whoever did this, don't ever talk to me again. If you do, you're gonna get hit in the face.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Do you guys have any Halloween traditions? Like, any movies that you watch or...
I mean, like I said, I was never that big into Halloween, and part of that, and this is also, I'm just, like... I'm gonna throw my mom under the bus a little bit, but my mom's always been really into Christmas, so she was never really that into Halloween, and I can't say that I was either. I mean, the one thing I remember from Halloween, and it honestly just makes me think sometimes that I'm like a cosplayer at heart, but I was 5 and I was dressed up as Superman because Superman was my favorite hero since I was a kid.
Okay.
And my mom and I was walking around in it. My mom's like, "Oh, look how cute, Supergirl!" And I turned around on my mom and said, "No, I'm Superman." And might I add, I'm like this like 4 foot tall little blonde girl with bright blue eyes and little pigtails and shit. And I'm turning around, "No, I'm Superman."
I am a man.
That is adorable.
For me, it's all about dressing up. Honestly, like it's like a time of the year when you can cosplay and nobody like thinks, cause like if I just wore my Squirrel Girl outfit around in like, right, you know, June, which would be fine to me.
Right.
But like people would be like, "Why the fuck are you wearing that costume?"
I think most people would be like, "Why are you wearing leggings?"
Yeah, exactly.
Admittedly though, you look really comfy.
It's actually very comfortable. It's actually a very comfortable costume all in all. So like, yeah, leggings are actually really comfortable. The boots are like surprisingly comfortable as well.
I was planning on being a Power Ranger this year, but I haven't gone to the gym in a while, and the thought of being in spandex is like really disheartening at the moment.
But I guess it's gotten me in trouble in the past, like dressing up, because I'll also try to like, when I'm out in like Halloween festivities, I'll also try to like role play the character as well.
Oh,
so like one year I dressed up as Gamzee from Homestuck, who's like basically like a juggalo, and so like I had my face painted like bottle of Faygo, like all this like stuff, and I'd go around, his catchphrase is like, it basically is like, "Motherfucker, like motherfucking, it's all just motherfucking stuff, you know, motherfucker."
Oh my god, so it's me.
And so like yeah, he's this like, and so like I was doing that to people. I'd be like, "What's up, my motherfucker? Hey, motherfucker, how's it going?" And like I was at a party and a guy was like, "What the fuck did you just say to me?" And I was like, in my mind I was like, "Don't break character, but also don't get beat up." And so I was like, you know, we're all motherfuckers, you know, like, you're a motherfucker, and I'm a motherfucker, and all this stuff.
But we might have to drop some of the curses, because I don't know if YouTube will...
Don't censor me, but you probably will have to.
Wow.
So, yeah, so that was definitely... That was definitely,
I can honestly say I wish I could go around saying... I've always wanted to be superheroes when I was, like, I mean, honestly, I'm not, this is my costume for tomorrow. I am casual Robin. I would be wearing the mask, but it's, I can't even open my eyes all the way with my eyes. So, like, for most of it, I'd just be looking at nothing. But, I mean, I'm wearing a costume t-shirt with a cape. Some jeans and some tennis shoes, and this is what it's going to be.
You do understand that is the Halloween equivalent of a tuxedo t-shirt,
and I'm
right?
Totally okay with that.
She has a cape on.
I do have a cape on.
I guess that's true. For Capes and Scowls West.
Spooky. That felt weird.
Usually,
yeah. Strange. So weird. I have a bit, like, this is learning moments. I'm a huge fan of ultra-violent slasher films.
Really?
But I'm a chicken shit. So
and you're like, stab them in the eye.
Oh, God!
Exactly. And my wife doesn't watch them at all.
Yeah.
Like, Stranger Things episode 1, the first season. Uh-huh. She's like, "I don't know that I want to watch this again at night." You know, watch this during the day. She wouldn't go see it with me.
Yeah.
But don't blame her!
It only has one, like, super scary moment. But I like watching...
Freaking clown!
Yeah. Anyway, so I like watching all of these movies, but I don't have... like the time to, because I can't just be in the house with Kara around and then
see, like, for me, if you like
like go into the other room, right? Honey, it's me time.
I'm sitting there blanket over my head like this. I'm fine. No, it's cool.
Like both of you like are putting like your hands over the other one's eyes.
Okay, so the way it works for me is I love reading horror mangas. I love reading horror stories. I love reading... You put it on a screen, and then all of a sudden, everything's different. Everything. I'm just like, don't want to watch it.
Yeah. I hate haunted houses, though.
Nope.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm definitely one of those people. I back punched one of my friends because it was like I got scared so bad, and he wasn't moving fast enough out of my way. It was just like,
I don't have a flight response. I have a fight response. So I'm like, I'm gonna go to jail.
Well, apparently I have both, and they're intertwined with one another. It's like I'm gonna run by throwing punches. Like,
that's one of my favorite. Like,
it's not very aerodynamic.
Do you ever see that, like,
probably
YouTube?
Not good for breath control.
Do you ever see those, like, YouTube videos of, like, guys on Halloween, like, people, like, try to, like, scare them or whatever? They just, the person they scare just, like, instantly punches them out or whatever. Well, that's, like, one of my favorite genres of funny internet videos.
I almost had that happen to me, actually. So I had a cashier, and I was, he got really focused, and we don't have a pen here. The thing where, like, you curved your upper lip and, like, hold the pen, they're like,
oh, yeah,
ultra focused. So I came from behind him and just like deadpan, like 3 feet from him, he cursed, jumped, and had fist in the air. I was laughing so hard, I was crying. But yeah, so.
But no, cat, like I said, you put it on a screen, and at that point, I'm like, for some reason, now it's real. Yeah. Like, what was it? I'm reading a manga right now that I really like called Corpse Party. I'm pretty sure if I watch the actual anime, because there's another one from before that, I would sleep less than I already do. Like, I want to watch it, but then I'm like, no, you shouldn't, but I want to, but you, like, really shouldn't.
Shaun of the Dead exists, and that's a movie
that's such a good movie.
I have this, like, wildly insane phobia of zombies, like, I can't watch The Walking Dead. It gives me nightmares. But I can read the damn comic. Yeah, exactly. The books are a little harder to stomach sometimes because they're pretty screwed, man.
Yeah.
But, like, I can read the comics, but I watched the movie. I had so many zombie nightmares for, like,
really?
So many. And then, of course, there was, what else was it? World War Z freaked the ever-loving, like, crap out of me. The book is really good, completely different, really good, though. But the movie, like, in the back of my mind, I'm like, if zombies are like this, everyone in America is dead because no one does cardio here.
All right, I do have the last, like, bullet point on the whole Halloween thing. The monster or, like, fearful creature, what is your worst? Like, what is your personal...
Oh, like favorite. The scariest
or
one?
The scariest one.
Like the thing that just like scares the...
Zombies.
I've never seen it, but for me, it'd probably be like a Chucky type deal.
Oh yeah, I don't handle dolls.
A doll coming
either.
Back.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I don't handle that very well either.
I have a split thing, and it's like the two aspects of my personality. It's werewolves. For some reason, like, I think it's more like the transformation. Like, I would be so afraid of turning into something like that. And
this
the whole,
like,
the transformation.
Like, my chicken shit nature is about to come out when I go.
And then the other one is Freddy Krueger. Like, the idea of being able to be attacked in your dreams, like your safe place, and not having a way out and being trapped, that scares the fuck out of me.
Keep adding to my list, man. So, make me think about it.
Yeah, dang.
I hated taking baths with a door open or a door closed when I was a kid because of seeing Friday the 13th way too young.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so the claws coming up. Not Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street.
I was like, my mom's super upset with you right now because, like, I think... Friday the 13th and then Nightmare on Elm Street are one of, like, her two favorite movies. She's just like, my mom calls me Katie, so it's kind of weird sometimes. But she's like, Katie, aren't you going to come watch this with me? And I'm like, no!
Friday the 13th, or Nightmare on Elm Street is a great movie. Johnny Depp.
That movie's weird as well. Anyways,
All right. With that out of the way, I guess we should get into our comic review segment.
I don't know if it'll focus.
So this
day,
we're all going to do a big review of the Mighty Thor number 700. So this is Legacy, written by Jason Aaron, with like 50 artists on it.
Do you want me to name them all? No.
I'm pretty sure one of the Thors on this cover might be a horse. I don't know. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, I have no idea. There's, like, an artist and colorist for, like, every short, like, every different part of the story
on
this.
But it's all one story, which is
super confusing.
But it's all one
story, because it's all written by Jason Aaron, so.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, this is a big, like, 50-page book, and it's just, it really is like an Asgardian epic. Like, there's just so much stuff going on in this. It's like, and it even opens up with, like, this, it's pretty dark, but it opens up with, like, this old-school Thor, like, style and, like, look, and he's just... And he's just flying through the air, and it looks like almost like a 70s like rendition of
Thor. So side note,
it's Walt Simonson.
Yeah,
I don't know a whole lot about Thor or his mythology because it was one of those stories to me that was like not a meh but a meh.
Okay,
I mean that makes no sense, but in my mind it does. But it was one of those things where I was never really into Marvel
levels of meh,
and then you add like mystic things, and then I get like. Slowly lose interest as well. So
I was the exact same way until they introduced the Mighty Thor, Jane Foster, and like her the whole like when
the
I was
only
like
reason I like her character is the way that, is the, because of the way that they draw her, because instead of her being like that quote unquote sexy American skinny thin, she's actually like basically if she came up to me in a bar and said move, I would like tip the I would like get off the stool, dust it off, and hand it to her.
she's pretty jacked.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, even compared to, like, She-Hulk, she's fighting for most of this comic.
Which is, like offensive in its own right, but continue.
Yeah. So, she's pretty beefy.
That's for you, Austin.
she is pretty beefy, and that's...
Oh, yeah.
And that is one thing, because, like, she's Thor. Like, mm-hmm. You know, she wouldn't... But it's also, like, really interesting when her Thor form juxtaposed to her, like, breast cancer.
Yeah, seeing like I never knew anything about this Thor to begin with. So night they're like, "Oh, hey Jane," I'm like, "Who the hell is this, and what is she dying from?"
they're like, "Why is there just like a cancer patient in the middle of my Thor story?"
That's exactly what it was.
Yeah. So that's such an interesting premise to me. Like that one of the strongest. Most powerful characters in the Marvel Universe is basically like being her greatest enemy is breast cancer. Like how ironic or apropos is that? I can't decide which one it is.
It's a really like it's a poetic concept to be able to tell that story from that person's perspective.
Mm-hmm. And to do it so well too, like that's like
well the even just the realization just from the story too, how much her power is tied to the hammer as well, because that is brought up too.
Yeah, Mjolnir is a key component to the to the story, and Mjolnir actually in the overarching like Jason Aaron's story is really important because the whole existence of Jane as Mighty Thor. Is because Odin's son is not worthy of Mjolnir.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's important. And the alternate Mjolnir from the Ultimates universe didn't choose him either.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It chose someone else to be the War Thor. So what are our thoughts on this? I was giddy reading this book. I haven't been reading the Jason Aaron run. I've run bits and pieces.
I mean,
it's so epic. I want to read like an entire omnibus.
It makes me want to read the Mighty Thor itself, like the ones before this, because I'm really curious about her character now.
Yeah.
Like before when they introduced all this, I was just kind of like whatever because it was Marvel to me, so I was like whatever.
Well, I think one of the most telling parts.
I will say this though, I'm tired of those stamps and stop putting stamps in my thing.
I know,
don't care
right?
About them.
I don't want to. I don't want to collect any of them.
Yeah,
I don't.
I just
want to
read the story.
That has to be something like somebody somewhere is collecting, right? Like that
and
has
probably.
Let us know because it is kind of weird. It is sort of distracting when you're reading the book. And
yeah,
all
I love it. I'm just
up.
Like. It does. It's the same thing with like the stupid Snickers ad.
Oh
the DC
yes.
One.
Oh.
I'm like reading, and then this is not part of my. Damn it!
I think this it probably has one of the most like Jane Foster or like Mighty Thor esque like.
I can
lines
honestly
in it
say I
she's...
even like her name, like Jane Foster, because Jane is like the like. I don't know how to word this.
It's like the female John, basically.
Yeah, yeah. Basically,
Jane,
what it is.
John Doe, Jane Doe.
Yeah, kind of exactly. And yeah. I like that too for some reason, and I don't know why, because it makes it seem like she's such a. She's the norm of norm.
Yep.
kind of deal.
It also is an interesting tie to her being a doctor. Mm-hmm. Is like, you know, you get all the Jane Does coming in, and she's just a Jane as well.
Yeah,
you know?
Mm-hmm. So that is interesting.
Especially considering she walks into the hospital and gets treatment herself.
Yeah.
That's really...
Yeah, although, you know, like, she doesn't come in all the time, so, like, right. You know, like how they say doctors are the worst patients or whatever, so mm-hmm. she's just a terrible patient.
Yeah, right.
But I think one of the most telling lines of dialogue from her, like, one of the most characterizing things is when she's fighting She-Hulk, she says, "Oh, they used to call you the She-Hulk, yes? I would still be angry about that as well."
Well, I think that was just a total jab at the fact that they renamed her comic She-Hulk again.
Yeah.
Which was kind of like, just after talking with certain people about that, I was like, what's the big deal? And they like explained it to me and I'm like, no, it's bullshit. So yeah. I'm like on this rail
yeah,
too.
Yeah, because they could have just done it like they did with Thor and had the unworthy Thor and the mighty Thor.
Well,
they could have just done like the Incredible Hulk and the
and just Hulk.
Didn't
and
he,
the Hulk,
didn't,
yeah.
Didn't he have his own
really
weird,
amazing
his
Hulk.
Own weird Hulk
he was
to it,
totally
though.
Awesome and now he's incredible so
yeah,
I don't know why they anyway that's a conversation
so they just
right
made
episode.
They made Amadeus Cho the Incredible Hulk
yeah,
and
yeah.
She's just
Banner's still dead
now She-Hulk yeah I didn't know if they were gonna bring him back. I don't care about Hulk at all.
I don't know.
Well another
well no I mean honestly
yeah.
like
Hulk's
I said
one of my favorite
when,
characters but that's what's
fine. Well,
like
wrong,
when they
but,
when
no.
they bring up the fact that like someone brought up the fact to me of like the whole she's like, there's no more She-Hulk, it's just Hulk, and then they did this, and I'm like, isn't this kind of like a backwards walk into...
Yeah, yeah.
And that's basically them taking this huge jab at them for that, because, you know, you have the mighty Thor, unworthy Thor, you have all these Thors, but you have, what, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's a definite jab, if anything.
It is.
Anyways.
So, yeah. Also, for me, another part of this, I think my favorite part of this whole book is the space, and this is usually, like, not stuff that I like big, like, you know, the evil dimension fighting against a good dimension.
We all know that
but
I hate space, so.
Galactus, Necro-Galactus fighting Ego the Living Planet was epic as fuck.
Oh, yeah, using, yeah. like, the God Butcher sword.
Yeah, and, like... Oh my gosh, that was.
You
want to
know? It's actually kind of like this whole like the when he was talking about eating the planets. Like I actually got a little queasy. Like when he was talking about it.
Yeah.
I was like, he's literally talking about a planet right now, but I want to go puke in a trash can.
Yeah,
it was.
Oh, I know. And then like there's the one planet that's kind of like it looks like an apple that's been eaten a little bit. Like
I enjoy the fact that he has like a planet in his eye. I don't really.
You're
the star of my eye. Anyways,
he threw it at her.
Yeah, he
like,
threw it at
yeah,
him.
Yeah, Galactus threw, like, a moon into Ego's eye or whatever.
And then, of course, like, the fact that he, like... I don't know. Like, this story arc right here kind of grossed me out.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's just the fact that everything is so human... And so when they're talking about eating things, and then I'm, like, drawing that line between eating humans, and I'm just like... I don't want to participate. That's probably the biggest part of it.
Yeah. And also, I think my other favorite part of this was Throg.
Right?
I had no idea that he was an actual thing. Frog, basically Frog Thor. And when they introduced him on the first time, I was like, all right, so I guess there's a Frog Thor flying around. But when he, like, makes this... like mini rain cloud above like the guy who killed the person until they like give up. I was like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Using the rain as opposed to thunder is very, very telling of like a character.
Right. Well, I think Throg was actually created by Walt Simonson during his run. That's the thing is like there's so many creative people in this book that has either been on Thor before or,
I don't know, like, I dig, the Mighty Thor's art, like, just her, like, character build when she's the Mighty Thor.
Yeah.
Like I said, I love the fact that she's not this, like, typical woman, sexy, skinny, she's, like I said, I would dust the stool off and hand it
to her. Yeah. So that was one of the things I really wanted to talk about was which artist's interpretation or which artistic segment was your personal favorite in this.
Oh.
For me, it was and I have no idea who did which segment. I didn't actually go.
Oh, that's right. I can try to pick us up.
It was the one right before. I'm trying to.
We're flipping through, as you can actually see. So we're
trying my favorite's the Mighty Thor one. Like a lot of them, I didn't.
Which one in the Mighty Thor? Because now that I look at it,
She's so not the ones in the back because that's like I think that's War Thor is his, but it's
Is it the one where she's actually fighting?
When she's fighting Hulk. That's what it. That's my favorite.
So Daniel Acuña is the artist on that one.
Yeah, and I really like that one because I mean, you see like the Hulk, and I would just run out of the bar if I ever saw that. So
it's really like I love the artistically. They're so like it's sort of impressionistic in a weird way, but yeah, very very powerful. I like Acuña's art a lot. What was your favorite?
Mine was definitely the. Like, what is this, like, eons in the future with Thor as the All-Father?
That was a very,
very short.
It looks like, it reminds me of, like, an older painting, like the,
it kind of looks like a gothic style, like, almost.
Yeah,
like,
seeing
with
that,
with, like, the pastels.
Like,
sort
that
of.
One definitely fits for, like, that section of it, so I definitely thought that was great.
I think that's Das Pastoros. Who drew that section? I looking at the credits are in order by their appearances, and I assume that's who we're looking at right there.
Yeah,
because the following pages are by Chris Burnham for sure.
Yeah, okay.
That's a really like weird like painterly style that.
That's
one
the
has.
One is like I can't think of what the painting is called, but it reminds me of. So it's one of the most iconic paintings, so of course I should know what it is because it's like. Like when
are you thinking
Zeus,
of the birth of like Adam or what's that called? Like the
one
like,
where he's almost touching God or something.
It's Michelangelo.
Yeah, that's what it reminds me of.
Yeah, I can't remember the title of that, but we should probably wrap up soon, honestly.
Well, my favorite art, because I gotta be able to talk about my stuff.
Yeah, no, I'm just throwing that out there for time.
So. James Herron. He is the artist, was the artist on Rumble. Mm-hmm. And yeah, his War Thor is freaking epic. He has this cartoony style to it and all of the energy. So he was my favorite to see his rendition of the Thor world of seeing,
I really like the hammer.
Asgardia.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge fan of the Ultimate Hammer, but I like the way he draws it. So it looks really interesting. And I like, Volstagg's War Thor.
Yeah.
He's also going to be penciling the next issue. So.
Interesting.
That's really, right. I can see that at the end of it.
That was a really interesting thing because it was a little cartoony, and then but showing him like on that full page spread at the end, as very cartoonishly rendered, but still at the same time, really like crazy and epic.
Yeah.
And, like, all sorts
see, I have
stuff.
A hard time with this stuff like this when they're not, especially when it's this many stories, but it's one story. In my head, I have a very hard time with the consistently changing of the art styles.
See, and this is one of the stories for me that I'm okay with that, is when you...
Well, that's because you have so many different Thors.
Right, when you're doing specific story elements by different artists.
I had Rage a couple weeks ago, we won't get into that, but it was for the artist style changes. So for this one, I can see it more because it blends, so...
Cool. All right.
So with that, I guess everyone say goodbye.
Bye!